You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 6th, 2020, President Trump is warning everyone, we're going to come upon a time that's going to be horrendous. We're getting to a point where it's going to be really, really bad numbers. He's talking about the number of infections and possibly the number of deaths related to the coronavirus. Our U.S. Surgeon General has said, this week is going to be like a Pearl Harbor and the 9/11 moment all together at one time. Only it's not going to be any specific area. It's going to be across the face of our nation. He said it could be the hardest, the saddest for most American lives because we are going into this Holy Week and going to probably have a high casualty rate because of coronavirus. We're still waiting to see the number of infections begin to drop off, and when that begins to drop off, then perhaps the number of those getting really sick will fall off, the number needing to be hospitalized, and the deaths will fall off. But we're not there yet. We do have a report out of New York that it's looking a little bit better, a little bit. 4,000 of those seriously ill had now been treated with that anti-malarial drug, hydroxychloroquine. Between that and adding a Z-Pak, something of that nature, those 4,000 are showing great improvement. That does not mean they're out in the clear at this point. But again, with the reduction of numbers being reported in New York, maybe the remedial efforts are working. Simply that social distancing, washing your hands, wearing a mask, just being aware of your surroundings and taking extra care at this point. China was at the point that it decided things had gotten so well and going so great in Wuhan that was the epicenter of the coronavirus that China began to lift travel restrictions. I don't think I'd want to be traveling there, but at the very time they did that, came word that there were cases showing up in Beijing for the first time. We don't know if this is a second wave or the word is just now getting out. The Japanese Prime Minister Abe says he's going to declare a state of emergency for Tokyo. And of course, you could expect this. Iran, one of the senior Iranian leaders, says that President Trump is more dangerous than coronavirus. There's someone else just taking a page right out of the Democrat leftist playbook. Attack Trump in the midst of all of this. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is still hospitalized. His ministers claim he's still very much in charge, but apparently he was confirmed as having been infected with the virus. And there's a leaked French diplomat note that claimed that outbreaks of Chinese coronavirus in Africa could lead to the collapse of regimes in various African nations. That's going to be another shoe dropping on the world stage. Trying to get in and out of New York right now. New York City airport's pretty tough. American Airlines joining United, JetBlue, and drastically cutting service at those airports, saying we're not going to fly in more than we need to or out any more than we need to. And here's something you will not hear on the mainstream media. Donald Trump's presidential campaign has a lot of money that doesn't need to be spending right now on ads because the political season, even while it's underway, is kind of pushed to the side. So you know what they're doing with some of that money? They're now donating it from the presidential campaign coffers to meals to hospitals across the country to feed doctors, nurses, first responders. You will not hear that on the mainstream media. And this social distancing idea, Republican Senator John Barrasso out of Wyoming says, hey, we don't need no stinking stay-at-home order in Wyoming. Wyoming is the 10th largest state land size, has less than 600,000 population, 600,000. And as the senator says, hey, here in Wyoming, with that land size and that number of population, we've been social distancing for 130 years. And so he's right. They do have a couple, 200 cases, but no deaths.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This is going to be the hardest and the saddest week of most Americans' lives, quite frankly. This is going to be our Pearl Harbor moment, our 9/11 moment, only it's not going to be localized. It's going to be happening all over the country, and I want America to understand that.
Again, those are the words of Surgeon General Jerome Adams. It's going to be Pearl Harbor, 9/11, all across the nation this next week. One of the saddest times of our lives. That is because of what they fear is going to begin to show in the infection and death rate of coronavirus. We have been under a 15-day cooling period, as the president originally said, and that ended going into the 1st of April. And then we were told we need to go another 4 weeks, and this being then a third week to the 15 days. Now we're going into the fourth week. We know we're behind the curve. We know we're behind the curve. We don't know how far behind it and then what we can do. There's still a lot of interest, and it's been effective, at least in the New York City area, using the hydrochloroquine as a drug to treat 4,000 of the most seriously ill. It's been effective, and they have not had the death count accelerate where it's been used. But the problem is, will this be another wave coming? And the reason that question comes up is because in China, just as they began to lift travel restrictions into Wuhan, the city considered to be the epicenter, Beijing began to report cases of coronavirus where previously they had not reported them, or at least had not been making it public. And that could be a big key difference, whether it was happening and just not being stated. but then apparently began to accelerate where they thought they got to report it. China has reported 82,641 cases, 3,335 deaths, 3,335. The death count in the U.S. at this point, just under 10,000. That does not mean that we have more deaths in China. It just means we have more compared to what they are reporting they've had. Let me give you these numbers again. Worldwide confirmed 1.3 million. China registering less than 100,000 cases confirmed. Worldwide deaths at 70,000. China around 3,300. At 70,000, we are 1/7 of that death count just in the U.S. with 340,000 confirmed cases. So are you going out? Are you abiding by the stay at home as much as possible? I saw over the weekend a lot of folks on internet sites and so forth talking, kind of making the most of it, laughing, having virtual parties on the web, things of this nature. My grandson in Florida turned 10 yesterday, and the idea was, of course, for a number 10 birthday. That's a big one. My original intent was to fly down to be there with him. And, of course, the intent was for him to have a really big party, all of his friends. His mother planned ahead and got about 7 or 8 of them to shoot videos on their own phones or their parents' phones and then send them all to her so she could put them together as a presentation for him. But things are changing. I mean, folks who had planned weddings, numerous events, and of course then you got the main event, such as the city of St. Louis is very big about the July 4th event, off the books, and numerous sporting events, as you know, off the books, and this is the way we're going to have to do it for a period of time. And with the Surgeon General saying this next week is going to be one of the saddest for us, once we get past this next week, are we really going to be able to say, okay, we're better? If we suddenly start ignoring stay at home, distancing, hand washing, whether or not you choose to use a mask, how fast could this turn and go the other way? Mortuaries in New Orleans. They're out of space. And the mayor said, I need more refrigeration. So refrigeration trailers are being brought in. New York, New Jersey, Detroit expect to see the peaks in their hospitalizations this week and the peaks in deaths. That's why they're saying this is going to be a telling week. There have been these hot spots. New York City, all this closely confined, and it's so easy to transmit anything once you're in the midst of hundreds of thousands on a continuous basis. Same thing out of the West Coast side. I'm going to have later in this hour John LeBoutier, former U.S. congressman from New York, join us in give us the latest on what he's seeing around his part of New York. I know John, I'm going to say this directly, I think I can safely say it, has not been to the center of New York for some time, probably has no intention of it. And then the story in Louisiana, again, that gets down to clearly the celebration of Mardi Gras. And the reaction from the politicians, Democrats in Louisiana, the Louisiana governor, John Bel Edwards, Democrat, and the New Orleans mayor, also Democrat, is that, well, we wouldn't have had those events if we had known this thing could be that serious. January 31, the president said, stop all flights coming from China. Stop all Chinese nationalists from entering our country. And we already began to see cases tick up and increase. March, St. Paddy's Day, decisions already made across the nation, including New York, no St. Paddy's Day parade. And in fact, in Ireland, they closed the pubs on St. Paddy's Day. Not just for that day, but going forward. And in New Orleans, the attitude was, laissez-faire, let's party, let the good times roll. And unfortunately, it's going to be a contributor to the death count, specifically New Orleans, much less across the rest of Louisiana. There are signs of hope, according to some, even though I tell you that the peaks in hospitalizations and deaths are expected this week in New York, New Jersey, Detroit, and New Orleans is already out of morgue space. There is hope that because folks are getting on board finally, that we will see it begin to drop off. Of course, we do have religious holidays coming up. The most holy holiday for Christians. This is not a time to decide to test God, believe me. We do not have this under control. Dr. Fauci said when he was asked, do you have this under control?
On the one hand, things are going to get bad, and we need to be prepared for that. It is going to be shocking to some. It certainly is really disturbing to see that, but that's what's going to happen before it turns around. So we just buckle down, continue to mitigate, continue to do the physical separation, because we got to get through this week that's coming up, because it is going to be a bad week.
Now, we told you last week it's going to be a bad week. And I'm not sure so many really bought into that, thinking, oh, well, it's just more talk. I hope that between you and your family members, you're acknowledging that we cannot let up yet. I mentioned in the last hour that I knew a family where the teenagers in the family were saying, well, we can't get sick. It's not hurting teenagers. I don't have the story here in front of me. I had one earlier where a newborn had the virus. Obviously from the mom, but you do not have to be really young like a newborn or really old. There have been strapping, healthy people in their 40s suddenly come down with it. And the way they describe this is frightening. One of them said, it's like you're drowning. You cannot get out of the water. You cannot get enough air. You ever had an experience like that? Many of us, when we have a bad sinus congestion, I've been battling sinus allergies again, and you get where you can't even lay your head down. You feel like you can't breathe, so you sit propped up. But in the closing stages of life for many of these people, that's what they're battling through. I do worry that some are going to get so tired and say, okay, we've done it now for 3-4 weeks. My family's fine. We're going to go ahead and live our life. I would hope you would encourage members of the family and friends, don't go out and go overboard yet. I have several friends who own restaurants. You think they're not hurting? And they don't, you know, they can't pay their employees because they've got nothing coming in. They give them a little bit of fallback, but then the employees themselves, they would like nothing better than to get back to work. But even if they open up, is anyone going to come in? And then, of course, in the midst of all of it, you continue to have the liberal attacks upon Trump as if he's responsible for all of this. Every day I come in, I think, okay, today I'm not going to deal with the attacks on Trump because it's such low-hanging fruit. They do it all the time. But I can't ignore it because they're taking facts and twisting them and making lies out of them. Governor Gretchen Whitmer, Democrat, Michigan, who, of course, was complaining that she was not going to allow doctors in her state to prescribe the chloroquine drug because it was not specifically approved for treating coronavirus, and she was threatening disciplinary action against doctors in her state, which meant basically we'll come after your license. Then had to suddenly do a turnaround, suddenly say, okay, we're going to let that go. In fact, we need to beg for some. We don't have enough in our state. And yet, even though she's had to acknowledge that she was wrong about that, she continues to attack, not acknowledging what the president has done. In fact, now she says, well, I'll tell you what she says after this break.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
All right, I left you hanging. I was talking about Governor Gretchen Whitmer, Democrat of Michigan, who was complaining because Trump kept pushing this chloroquine drug and admittedly saying over and over again, it works for some, it might not work for everybody. If you're in need of it, you should try it. And the governor of Michigan told her doctors, if you dare try that drug, we will have investigations of you. In other words, we'll come after your medical license. And then she did a turnaround, realized maybe that is helpful. And then she realized they don't have enough in their state. So then she's begging for more to be brought in. And then she's complaining that Trump has no national strategy on dealing with this pandemic. She said it's a patchwork. The governor's kind of doing what they want to do instead of a one voice. Well, now, Governor, if there had been a one voice on that issue, your chloroquine, you would have been not telling your doctors you can't take it or we'll prosecute you. You would have been under orders from the federal government, dispense it everywhere regardless, just do it. He's trying to let the governors make decisions in their own states. But she says there's no national strategy. You wouldn't like his national strategy if he followed what he's suggesting. And then you get a Democrat state representative in Ohio said, I can't take it anymore. And she says, I've been to The Hague, and I'm going to prosecute in the International Court at The Hague. I want to prosecute Donald Trump for crimes against humanity. Why? Well, because she said that news conference I just saw was the last straw. Once again, he's pushing this chloroquine as a drug to be used. He's not pushing it for any monetary gain at his part. He's not pushing it for any reason other than it's apparently worked and will work for some. Should be aware of it. Make your decision. Governor Cuomo has 4,000 seriously ill New Yorkers now taking that drug. But this Democrat state representative in Ohio says Trump should be prosecuted in the international court for crimes against humanity because he pushes a drug. And then you get Chelsea Handler, so-called comedian, joining again more the left wing, saying all of Trump's briefings should be considered unethical, not safe to watch, and he should not be carrying them live. CNN didn't carry some of it live, and others are beginning to back off. And why? Because, again, if he starts talking about hydrochloroquine might be an effective drug, they say it's a lie, it's a lie. Are you telling that to the New Yorkers on the drug at this point? All right, we're going to take a break. I have more I want to say on these points, but I'll try to reserve it for later if I have time. I've got a story at the end of today I definitely want to share with you about just one of the many, many tragic stories coming out of this virus. But before we do that, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be joined by John Lebouthière, former U.S. Congressman. He's a Republican, a Reaganite, not a Trump supporter, but I'd be interested in some of his thoughts as to how he thinks Trump has been handling this. I think this could be interesting. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Drinking dog whiskey, telling white lies. One leads to another on a Saturday night. And don't you cross your heart unless you hold the dime. Drinking dog whiskey, telling white lies.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Drinking dark whiskey on a Saturday night or any night. Not a bad idea sometimes. John Lebouthière joining us. John, welcome aboard.
Hello, Larry. Good morning.
Well, I tell you what.
Yeah, good afternoon, actually.
Yeah, it is. It is afternoon, and not too early for a little Jack Daniels, if you want some. Go ahead. John Lebouthière, of course, the former U.S. Congressman from New York, and also author of the book Harvard Hates America, a Reaganite. And, John, first of all, how are you doing with the distancing from everyone and wearing a mask and gloves or whatever you're doing?
Yeah, well, I'm okay. I mean, here, I'm in Nassau County, as I mentioned to you before, which is in the middle of Long Island, 30 miles from midtown Manhattan, where the thing is at the epicenter. And it is growing rapidly out here. People are dying quite rapidly now in the hospitals around me. I'm being, I think, pretty smart. I rarely go out. I do have a mask. I do wash my hands every second, you know, after I come back. I'm very careful about it. So I think I'm okay. Knocking on wood, you're going to hear it. It's me knocking on wood.
I assume, though, you have friends and relatives around the area. Are they all abiding, and are some reaching the point of cabin fever and saying, oh, I don't need to worry. I just got to go enjoy life right now.
None of them are doing that. Everybody
good.
I know
good.
Is following this thing assiduously here. I talk to people in Florida, and they report to me that not everybody there is following it. I'm over 60. All the people I know who are over 60 and therefore over 70 especially are aware that that's the target group that can really get hit by this thing. Although young people are in the hospital with it and are dying from it too. you're crazy if you take this thing lightly. This is a extremely dangerous disease.
In fact, the Surgeon General is saying that this week will be like our 9/11 and Pearl Harbor all rolled into 1 week, and, of course, going into the most holy week for Christians.
Oh, it's an amazing thing. I know. But I feel the country is coming together over this thing more and more. A couple weeks ago, we, our age group, were kind of mad at those kids on the beaches in Florida thumbing their nose at the thing. I feel that's changed. I think the younger people, some of them, are more awoken to it. Let me put it that way.
Well, since you're talking about us coming together, how would you align with some, I don't mean align, but some of your reaction to some of the Democrats and left-wing media continue to attack Trump as if this is his fault, and simply because he's suggesting that chloroquine might work. It's not a fix-all, but it might work. And the governor of Michigan saying, if my doctor's used, she's since changed her mind, but we'll go after your license and so forth. In other words, they don't want any of the news conferences covered because they say he lies every time he gets out there, and he's more danger than help to the country.
Well, that's their opinion. They're not going to like any Republican president. I do think Trump has had some problems with this thing. I think these press conferences are too long. They're too meandering. They're too unfocused. He could do himself more good by scripting it better, like Andrew Cuomo does. Come out, hit your main points, have a slideshow presentation to go with it, and half an hour, and get out, and leave them with wanting more. I think 2 hours of standing there is too long. I just think it's sort of a waste of time.
Well, you know, their attitude is they're trying to be more transparent. You got any more questions? I'll be here until you're exhausted your questions. I mean, you're not going to win either way.
He's not going to win either way, but I think he'd be better doing the first half hour as Cuomo does, and say what he wants to say and take the questions directed at him on this topic. I think to go down the rabbit hole of going back to the Ukrainian thing, which they asked him the other day, right. I think the country doesn't want to hear that now, and he shouldn't be even having to answer the question. The press should be told only questions on COVID-19. That's all we're doing in this particular COVID-19 task force briefing. You can have a press conference next month on other stuff, too. But that's a stylistic thing. Larry, the people who like Trump are going to like him no matter what. The people who hate Trump are going to hate him no matter what. And nothing's going to change it on either side.
Yeah,
it's
but I think
baked cake. The cake is baked on Trump.
And it was with Obama, and I was not an Obama supporter. But if the situation were reversed, I would not be condemning Obama. Like I look at some of these remarks. I'm looking at a piece I read before you joined us. A Democrat state representative in Ohio, she wants to take Trump to The Hague, prosecute him for crimes against humanity because he's been talking about that this drug might be beneficial. You got Chelsea Handler and others that say that, you know, well, here's another case where he's just trying to have you take this hocus-pocus drug. It's not like he's benefiting every pill you take. I mean, it's just the resist movement cannot cease when I think we need to be joining together as a nation.
Right. Yeah, I am a little baffled over him pushing this particular drug. There are a couple other drugs also being used. The Japanese have reported a drug called Avagen that they're using on patients in China that's having also a good effect. And I don't understand why Trump pushes hydroxychloroquine and not other ones. But anyway, apparently Giuliani's talking to him every day and pushing it heavily. And there's a study in Marseille, France, where it did work on some patients and shortened their time in the hospital. So it might be good for some patients, you know, and that would be good.
Well, in your state, Cuomo has 4,000 that were highly suffering severely from it that are on it and apparently seem to be doing better. So
good.
I think it's because it's been around a long time, being a malaria drug. We know a lot about it, and now maybe with a combination of others, maybe just looking at something quick and fast. But I agree, we want to do what we can. Now, where do we go from this? At some point, we need to start restarting the economy and trying to kick things back in gear. How do you see that happening?
Well, I think it is going to happen. I get the feeling today in both Europe and here that we are reaching the apex of the worst here in the New York area. We're a little bit ahead of the rest of the country in terms of how bad we are, and there's a feeling that we might be peaking out this week, and this may be the worst that we have. You mentioned Pearl Harbor, 9/11. This may be it. And then if we keep the things we're doing, social distancing, washing hands, all that stuff, stay away from people, don't infect other people, we'll go down in infections gradually but steadily on the other side of that curve. And maybe, I'm just going to guess and be very conservative, right? Maybe by June 1st, the worst is over on this round of this thing. And we can start opening up things in the economy bit by bit. I heard just before you called that the PGA Golf Tour has announced dates for some of their big tournaments that have been rescheduled. Sure. Jack Nicklaus's Memorial has now been moved into June. I think without crowds, but at least it's a sporting event. That's one step, right? And the Masters is going to be November. So at least they're talking about reopening, which is somewhat optimistic. And, you know, we're buying some time, too, Larry, that maybe over the summer they can come up with some more drugs and better tests.
The governor,
so if you've had it or you've had the antibodies, you're safe to go out in the world and go back to work and everything will be okay.
I want to clarify something you just said. What you're saying, if you've had it and had the antibody and you're okay, you're not saying that you know that or that you heard it. I mean, I've heard that around too, but we're not trying
I'm saying that one of the big things in this issue that they're talking about is getting a home test
right
available in the next few months or sooner that you can quickly test yourself to see, A,
right.
if you have HAVE, if you have it. If you have it, you got to stay home. If you've had it, HAD, if you've had it, the thought is you won't get it again. They're not certain of that, but probably.
Yeah, that's the point I want to
right?
That's the point I want to drive home. There's no certainty. Well, before as we begin to close out in the last minute or so, Governor Whitmer out of Michigan, the one who complained about going after doctors if they use the drug. Now she's complaining that we don't seem to have a national, everything's patchwork, governors doing what they want. Well, do we need a national quarantine? I mean, would that be good? Governor Cuomo, you know, seems to be doing a pretty good job. I assume your subways, your buses are running. Airlines have been shutting down some flights in and out of New York, but that's their decision.
Well, the flights are way down, and I read that they're all empty. I mean, they're like flights going around this country with one person on it.
Yeah.
I mean, but the subways, the picture I saw in the paper the other day is still crammed with people, which is very dangerous. But they've got to go to work, and the subway can be crowded. You can't social distance on a subway if you're standing a foot right next to a guy.
Right.
So that is a problem. National shutdown, Fauci kind of wants it. Several states say we don't need it. But I think we're moving towards a pretty good shutdown of most of the country. What did I hear? 85% of people are shut down.
Yeah, the state of Missouri just declared a statewide, although I also read a piece earlier from Senator Barrasso, Republican out of Wyoming, saying we've been practicing social distancing for 130 years in my state. Hey, John, I appreciate you being with us. We'll book it again in the near future.
Love it, Larry, and be well, and all your listeners, and hopefully pretty soon, the worst will be behind us for good.
All right. You take care out there in that danger center.
Thank you.
John Laboutier. We'll take a break. When we come back, as I said, I have a story I want to share. That this is just one of many of the heartbreaking stories that are going on in the midst of all of this. But for each individual family that's affected, it's not a statistic for them. It's a loved one. I'll have that story for you when we continue.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
And all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside my brain. I'll scream loud tonight. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my
fight.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
For those of you out there who might be in the younger ages that are listening, and you've been hearing, oh, COVID-19 doesn't affect me. I'm a teenager. I'm in perfect health. And for parents and grandparents listening to me now who've heard that from their grandchildren or children, they're wrong. The international epicenter of the pathogen at this time in New York City, half the confirmed infections of individuals ages 18 to 44. Not way young, not way old, and teenagers are existing below that 18. I just gave you the around the age approximate that they've identified. And you'll be in great health. There's a story out of Texas. A 39-year-old guy who's in great health, he and his wife decided to take a cruise out of New Orleans. And this before all this news began to break. And the day before they docked, he told his wife, he said, I feel like I must have an allergy. I got a little tickle in my throat. He said, driving back home, we were both just exhausted. He said, I actually got a little bit better. My wife got sick. She tested negative for COVID, then ended up testing positive for the flu. He said a week later, and this is a key, I've heard this from several folks, I lost my sense of smell and taste. I've heard that on several reports I've been watching. Folks tend to lose the sense of smell and taste, not one or the other apparently, but both. And he said the next day it hit me like a freight train. He said the fever was out the roof. They sent me home. 15 hours later, I'm back in the hospital. Pretty severe pneumonia in my left lung. I've also seen reports that what this does, it scars the lung tissue, so it can't work the way it should. His pneumonia progressed, his temperature progressed. His wife said the pain was so severe he was barely talking to me. They'd gone back home. The doctor said, yeah, go home, just take care of rest. And they realized, got to go back to the hospital. And he said, later, I couldn't breathe. My cough was terrible. I felt I pulled a chest muscle, my entire body, my teeth hurting. I was throwing up, diarrhea, temperature high. Said the first two nights in the hospital, I didn't think I was going to make it out. I was only allowed to have a sheet. They had ice on my head, under my armpits, and my groin. He did survive. 39 years old, really healthy. But a couple things take note. As I just said, the epicenter in New York shows the average age between 18 and 44 of those affected. So when you hear teenagers, 13, 14, say, oh, it can't affect me, I'm young. No, it can affect you. And you don't have to have an underlying condition. Asthma, yeah. Diabetes, yeah. You're obese, yeah. That could all add to it. And then we've got those on the front line that are dealing with this constantly. And I told you previously that you need to keep them in your prayers. And I'd seen something somewhere on the web that someone had put up showing a nurse in a hallway just crouching and thinking, I know all of you at home are worried about your kids coming home with something. She said, I'm worried about taking something home to my kids. And our frontline responders are doing everything they can and working long, hard hours. In Detroit, an ER nurse, as everyone said, she worked as hard as anyone. She was on the front lines from the very beginning. And as patients began flooding the emergency room at Henry Ford Hospital where she worked, she stayed on the front lines. Her niece talks about it and says it's nice to hear she was willing to do it, but it's scary. And then near the end of March, this ER nurse came down with high fever, a cough, lost her sense of smell and taste. She told friends she tried to get tested twice, and when finally tested, she did test positive. Hospital says it adheres to the CDC guidelines for testing its personnel. Well, after another long set of hours at the hospital, she lives alone, so she went home to get rest. She went home to get rest, knowing that she had COVID-19, but seemed to have it under control. Friends called to check on her over the weekend. No response. They continued again, thinking maybe she's just resting. No response. They go into the house and find out that she had died alone in her house. Yes, she had COVID-19, had been on the front lines helping others, being there for them when they needed help and being there them when they needed it most. And here she was, alone in her house.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.